We are in the Daring To series, which is a five-part study in daring to believe, to commit, to be generous, to love one another, and to hope. Last 2 weeks, we had looked at daring to believe and daring to commit, with a clear challenge to find the courage to put our trust in Jesus Christ and fully commit ourselves to be His disciples no matter the cost. Thus, we will be useful and never be worthless. We had also heard that to be daring means to have the courage to do something difficult or something that would make a person uncertain or afraid. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank You. As we listen to Your word, open our hearts, our minds, that we may be hearers and doers of Your word. May Your Spirit work in our hearts, that we may be pleasing to You and used by You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today, we're going to study the third part in the series, Daring to be Generous. 1 Timothy 3:1-4 paints a picture of the world that we now live in the last days. We are in the last days. You will notice that Paul is not speaking about bad times. He's speaking about people who are self-centered and ungodly. Perhaps you would agree that we are living in a time where becoming anything other than godly or Christ-centered is considered better and more acceptable. Do you agree? So much so, who Jesus Christ is and what He has to offer is considered irrelevant and unpleasant. It is in this self-seeking, demanding, and difficult environment that we are called to be daring as Christ's disciples. To illustrate the role of a disciple, one comparison Paul makes is to that of a soldier seeking to please his commanding officer. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3-4, we read, "You therefore must endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." So I've captured the different loves of the world in a pie chart. It's from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1-4. I want to introduce the pie to you. You're not able to eat it, but at least have a picture of it in your mind. In the pie we have lovers of self, lovers of pleasure, lovers of money. That's the world we live in. That's the people around us. It's in this environment that Jesus Christ calls you and I as His disciples to be daring. It's in this environment that Jesus Christ calls you and I to be soldiers for the Lord, because it requires daring. That's the environment we are in. Now let us look at how we can be generous with our lives. So coming back to this little pie, lovers of self, lovers of pleasure, lovers of money. It's in these three areas that Jesus Christ calls us to be generous. It's not just in money. I want to first of all correct that. It's in these three areas that Jesus Christ calls us, His disciples, to be generous. Because this is what the world, this is the kind of world we live in. So He wants us to be generous in these areas. That we give of our lives, we give of our faith, and we give of our money to counter what's in the world. I'm going to repeat that. We give of our lives, we give of our faith, and we give of our money. Now we're going to look at each piece of the pie, and hopefully it will interest us. In the Gospel according to Luke, Jesus said to His disciples, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loves his life or loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his glory, in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. In the second letter to Timothy, Paul states that for I am already being poured out as a drink offering and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Jesus calls his disciples to deny themselves and to follow him. Take up the cross and follow him. Not to save your life, but to lose it. Paul, the apostle of Christ, is doing the same. He says, my life is being poured out to you. Paul wrote 2 Timothy from a dark and cold Roman prison cell just before his death in AD 67. This was his last epistle. Paul was not ashamed of who he was in Christ, but he gave generously of his life to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ to those who have never heard. Paul fulfilled what Christ had called him to do. Paul fulfilled what Christ had called him to do. So if you think about that piece of pie, the life, Paul did not hold on to his life. He was generous with it and he offered it to be poured out. Next, we look at the next piece of the pie, which is faith. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we are called to use our gifts according to the measure of faith given to us to bless the body of Christ and the people he guides us to. I'm going to emphasize that. And the people he guides us to, not indiscriminately. Okay, it's very important. When we begin to obediently exercise our faith by studying the Word of God and going out and applying our faith, as we heard today, we'll begin to experience the impact of it in us and those that we minister to. That is the exercising of our faith. We see this in Acts chapter 3, where Peter and John going to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, and they encounter with a man crippled from birth at the temple gate called Beautiful. They're walking. The person crippled from birth is at the temple gate. Peter and John walks up to him and he's asking them for money. Peter and John says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have, I give to you. He doesn't hold back on his faith. But what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And then Peter doesn't say goodbye. Hope you get healed. He holds the lame man's hand and lifts him up. And the Word of God says his ankles and his legs are strengthened and he's able to walk, praising and thanking the Lord. Peter and John could have held back. We are just new believers. We just got filled with the Holy Spirit. So we're not really sure if this thing will work. The whole synagogue, the whole temple, the priest will flog us for sure. And we have to save our face. What if he doesn't get healed? So my brothers and sisters, they did take a risk. They did take a risk. They were generous with their faith, and the man was blessed. Peter and John did not have money to give, but what they had, their faith in Jesus Christ, who could heal the sick, they gave and did not hold back. As a result, the man was healed. In the Acts of the Apostles, we see the disciples going out into the world and proclaiming and exercising their faith boldly and generously, bringing glory to the name of Jesus. They were daring to be generous with their faith, thus seeing results, including persecution and suffering. Okay? That's one thing we don't talk about. It's not glory land. The moment we be generous in our faith, we be generous in our lives, persecution and suffering will follow. Because remember, we live in a world where lovers of money, lovers of pleasure, lovers of self. A few words of caution here, okay? Because we're talking about faith. Do not be hasty and unwise. Inquire of the Lord in prayer and seek wise counsel. Talk to elders. Talk to people who are spiritually mature before you jump out and want to be generous with your faith. You know where I'm going with this. Do not let doubt, shame, and fear get the better of you. If you've stepped out and exercised your faith and did not see any immediate results, do not let doubt, shame, and fear. They are the troublesome trio. They are the troublesome trio. I prayed for this person. Nothing happened. But I strongly felt I should pray for this person, but nothing happened. Remember a time when the Lord had specifically told me to fast and pray for somebody. I fasted and prayed. There was no change in the person. I went back to the Lord. I said, Lord, I fasted for a week and I prayed for the person. All I did was lose weight. The person is still the same. You know what the Lord clearly spoke to me? Didn't the fasting touch you? Didn't it touch you? I had no complaints after. Probably it was for me, I don't know. Because the person meant something in my life. Probably that's why the person was brought to my mind to pray for. Maybe the Lord knew if I give Bobby something else, he ain't going to pray for it, let alone fast. Maybe, I don't know. I didn't see any change, but there was a change in me. The third one, word of caution, does not always have to be physical healing, okay? Does not always have to be physical healing. When you exercise your faith, it does not always have to be physical healing. When we exercise our faith in the Lord, it could be a word of encouragement. It could be a word of discernment. It could be a word of knowledge. You will sense that in your heart. And the Lord will be speaking to you. If in doubt, talk to somebody. Find an elder. Find a mature Christian. I know in my heart I should go and speak to the person. Can we pray? Can you come with me? And go speak it out and see what the Lord will do in the person's life and in your life. Be generous with your faith. Simple steps, my friends. This church will be a beautiful family encouraging one another. But be wise. Be wise. I remember a time when I was in youth ministry and this particular individual that I was ministering with, he was the team leader for campus ministries, and I remember one night he called me and he said, Bobby, this particular person has committed suicide. And he was devastated, and he has worked with that student. He was devastated. You know what was his devastation? Bobby, had felt in my heart the previous night the Lord clearly telling me to connect with him. I rationalized it saying, I just met with him the other day, so he should be okay. He put it aside for another day, but within that day, that particular individual took his life. And that was his devastation, that he did not set out listening to that voice in his heart. He's gotten over that now. It's been many years. But that story stuck with me. That when the Lord puts something in your heart, heed the words of caution, and then if the Lord brings something to your heart, step out in faith, be generous, don't hold back. The third area we're going to look at is money. Peter and John did not have any money, but we have, not a lot perhaps, but enough to get by. Some have more, but some don't, but that's okay, but enough to get by. So I'm going to briefly touch upon the topic, okay? Ecclesiastes 5:10, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. Hebrews 13:5, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Notice in these verses, it is not said to keep away from money, but from the love of money. The sad fact is, the world system in which we live is set up to entice our minds and senses, to instigate, I'd use the word instigate, I carefully chose it, to instigate the feeling of discontent and then work up a desire for more. Does that make sense? It instigates a feeling of discontent and then works up a desire for more. Just look at the flyers we get every week. And if the flyers don't get us, no flyers in this mailbox kind of thing, then the ads on the phone, TV, tablets, certainly will. And if they don't get to us, the billboards, and our friends and neighbors who always seem to have more than us. No escape! 1 Timothy 6, 6-10 says that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Some examples, I'm just going to quickly run through some examples. So love of money. It's not money in itself, it's a love of money. It's being discontent with what we have. We pierce ourselves with many griefs. Three quick examples. We have Gehazi, Solomon, and the Pharisees. Gehazi, you know, after the healing, he runs after the king and says, give me money. Elisha is not very happy. Gehazi gets leprosy. Solomon, God specifically instructed him, do not accumulate wealth, do not accumulate wives, do not accumulate horses. Here the man of wisdom, instructed by the Lord, does the opposite. Kingdom divided. Division. Finally, the Pharisees. They're supposed to be teachers of the law, represent Yahweh. But they're living double lives. They love money. Deception. So the love of money brings us many griefs. Disease, division, deception. The love of money brings us many griefs. So we can see all of these individuals had godliness, but did not practice contentment. Therefore, we see disease, division, and deception in their lives. As disciples of Christ, we have to practice contentment in order for us to be daring to be generous with money. If we have to be generous with money, we have to practice contentment. It does not happen overnight. Do you agree? Yeah, it does not happen overnight, especially because we are bombarded with these messages that instigate in us a desire and then works up. Instigates in us a lack of discontent and then works up a desire. It does not happen overnight. It's a step-by-step process. A step-by-step process where you say no to a non-essential item when you're looking at the window to buy it. No, it's a non-essential. I won't get it. A no here, a no there. A dollar here, a dollar there. And those dollars can be used to bless another individual. I have found the best antidote for the poison of discontentment is generosity. I have found the best antidote for the poison of discontentment, or greed for that matter, is generosity. Inject it. First Thessalonians 4:1. Before I get into that, I'd like to read Paul's encouragement. That's First Thessalonians. To the Thessalonian church, as we reflect on what each of us can do to be daring, to be generous in the areas of life, faith, and money. I'm going to take the next few minutes to help us reflect on what each of us can do in the areas of life, faith, and money. But before I do that, I'd like to read 1 Thessalonians 4:1. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. Many of us, if not all, are already daring to be generous. However, we can do this more and more. Take a few minutes, look at the wheel of generosity, and think of one thing in each section of the wheel that you would like to dare yourself to be generous with. I'm going to repeat that. Take the wheel of generosity, take a look at the wheel of generosity, and think of one thing that you can do, just one, to dare yourself to be generous in. I want to be generous with my life in the area of. I want to be generous with my faith in the area of. I want to be generous with my money and daring with my money in the area of. To help you, I'll give you some examples. Life. I'm going to be generous in giving more of my life to my spouse who is drifting away from me. A child who needs to know the Lord, but I have no time for him. I'm busy at work. Or a friend who does not know the Lord. I work closely with him, but I'm afraid to say that I am a Christian. Faith. I'm going to obey the Lord in praying for individuals that come to my mind immediately, even if it's in the middle of the night, rather than say, it's okay, I will do it another time. Praying for co-workers, praying for students that we work with, praying for students that meet with us. Bringing a word of encouragement to a child who has not done well in his test, but the word wells up in your heart to speak that to him, but we're too busy. Spending time with a child who wants to know the Lord, and you want to share your faith and how you came to faith with that child. Praying for healing for a friend. So think about it. One thing. Finally, money. I'm going to save $10 a week. $10. And I'm going to give that $10 to the food bank. I know some of us are very generous in the areas of life, pouring out your life, giving of your life through volunteering, putting in those extra hours, all for no pay. Some of us are very generous in the areas of faith, praying for the sick, visiting hospitals, laying hands, encouraging, discerning, word of wisdom. Some of us are. Some of us, I know, very generous with money. But my encouragement today is, when I was looking at the wheel, I said, Lord, you know, I may be generous in two areas, but I've got a flat tire. I've got a flat tire. Because my area of faith is not very strong. I'm not generous. I hold back. So ask yourself, what is that area, that piece of the pie that you need to be daring to be generous? What are we daring to be generous in the areas of life, faith, and money? My brothers and sisters, as we begin to do this, you will see how daring to be generous is helping you become more Christ-centered, more godly, and a blessing to your family, church, and others. Therefore, we will not be worthless. We will not be salt that has lost its saltiness. We will be salt that will promote and preserve. We will be salt that is valuable. You and I will not be worthless for service unto the Lord, our King. Amen. God bless.